We want to think this morning, we want to try and place the Easter story, both a little bit about Jesus' death, a little bit about his resurrection. We want to place that this morning in the kind of bigger picture of the Bible story. And we're going to do that, well, we're going to do that in a particular way this morning. And I wanted to begin here. Because some of the boys and girls, we've enjoyed a breakfast this morning, and some of them have been painting eggs, and I've got a few eggs here. And what we wanted to do this morning, we had breakfast this morning, I wanted to think about four meals. Four meals. We didn't have eggs for breakfast this morning, but we're going to think about four meals. Think about eggs just for a moment. How do you like your eggs? Right, we're going to take a little poll here. So there's your choice, hard-boiled, scrambled, fried, or, well, soft-boiled. All right, so we'll just take, just go back there, wait a minute. Right, there's your choice, hands up for hard-boiled. Oh dear, not many. Scrambled, oh, one or two more. Fried, I think that's my favorite, I think, yeah, I think so. Yeah, all the healthy people, that's right, yeah, good. Okay, or maybe, hands up, yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, okay, well listen, just for the boys and girls here too, there are at the end, there are chocolate eggs, that we've got, so you will get one of those at the end, so you can look forward to that. But what I wanted to do, as I said, was to talk about four meals. Four meals. And the first one, well, anybody know what the first meal in the Bible was? Okay, well, we've got trays here. Would anybody like to come and see? Here's the first one. Put it here, actually. Anyone like to come and see what's under this tray? It'll give us a clue to that first meal. Yeah, come on then, Kenny. Yep. Okay, do you want to take that off? Right. Tell him, what's there?
A snake and an apple.
Okay. So, there's our first meal in the Bible. So what's this talking about? What's that, Finley? That's right. That's right. That's the first meal. Have you ever thought about that? Need to hear, you need to know about this meal. We all need to know about this meal, actually. First one, remember the whole, this is right at the beginning, Genesis. This is when God had made this perfect world. He placed Adam and Eve perfectly in it. Everything was beautiful. Everything was wonderful. He'd given them lots and lots and lots of wonderful food to eat from lots and lots of different trees. He'd only just said one tree. One fruit that you mustn't eat from, knowledge tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Remember that? Said that, and then the serpent, I suppose that's why that's serpents there, and he came and he tempted and he tricked them, and he said, no, there's, well, I don't suppose it was an apple, but it was, we always traditionally have an apple as a symbol, but it was the fruit of this knowledge. And he said, well, he said to Adam and Eve, remember, he said, well, he said, first of all, God is not good. And then he said, if you eat from this tree, well, it will do you good. You'll become like God. And, well, what happened? Well, let's, William, have you got it there? The reading? From Genesis, yes. Let's just read these words together and think about what happened. Okay, after three, one, two, three. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. And then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God in the trees of the garden. They thought it was going to be a great meal. They thought it was going to do them good. But it was quite the reverse, wasn't it? It was quite the reverse. This is the meal that spoiled everything. This is a meal of disobedience, wasn't it, to God? And it spoiled everything. Their eyes were opened, but not to see anything good at all. They saw their own nakedness. They saw their own shame. They saw only the ugliness of a world, of a humanity, of a world that was now broken. Broken in its relationship with God. Broken in its relationship with one another. They saw a world that was full of shame and pain and death. Everything that hadn't been there before. This was the meal that spoiled everything. And there is a sense in which we'll never understand our world, we'll never understand ourselves, we'll never understand the need for Easter unless we understand this meal that was there at the beginning. A bad meal, a sad meal. But that's not where the story ends. We're delighted that that's not where the story ends. And we need just to move quickly then to our second meal. Our second meal. Because just after that first meal, God made a promise that he would send somebody. And so we're now thousands of years later. Meal two. So who wants to come and see what's under meal two? Connor, do you want to do that? That's great. Here's meal two. We'll have a look.
Juice and a biscuit and a cup.
Juice, a biscuit or bread maybe, and a cup. Okay, good. This is meal two. Anybody know what this is about? Finlay? That's right. So this is actually, we've moved really far on, haven't we? But as I say, we'll never understand this one unless we understand that one. So this is Jesus. This is the night before he died. This is a Thursday night. And he's only got two things. And there, the people here, he's with his friends. He's around a table. They're actually eating another meal. They're eating the Passover meal. They're remembering how God had rescued the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. But in the middle of that meal, Jesus does something. And Alex's going to come and read what he does. And we're going to think about it just for a moment.
While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
Okay. Did you hear that? This is Jesus really explaining to his friends what his death was about, what it was all about. And you heard what he did. He picked up a piece of bread and he broke it and he gave it to each of them. And then he picked up the wine and he poured it into a cup. And then he gave it to each of them. And as he did that, he explained to them why his death was necessary and why what his death was going to do. Remember what he said? He said something like this. He said, "In my death, my body's going to break like this bread, and it's going to be broken for you. So take, it's for you." And then he took the cup and he said, "My blood is going to be poured out in death, a bit like this wine, and it's going to be for you, for the forgiveness of your sins." Jesus was saying, "My body's going to be broken in death because that's the way God will mend the world." He was saying, "My heart is going to be torn apart in death, but that's the way that your hearts will heal." He was saying, "I'm going to be forsaken by God in death so that you can be forgiven by God." He was saying, "My death is for you." He was saying, "This meal will remind you of the way in which God mends everything, mends what that first meal spoiled." Jesus wanted us to know that his death was for us, and he gave us this meal to remember that and to celebrate that. Meal number three. Anybody want to come and see what's under meal number three? Yeah, come on in, Sarah. Do you want to hold the tray up? Tell them what's on it. She can show it, that's right. You hold it up. What's that? It's bread, really, isn't it? It's pita bread, isn't it? Is that right? Okay. Piece of bread. Another piece of bread. Thanks, Sarah. That's it. No, well done. Thank you. That's great. Anybody know what this meal is?
Bread.
It is bread. Well, let me ask you a couple of questions. Oh, no, don't want that. What about, how'd you like your bread? Okay, give you four choices. Okay. Right, rolls, kind of rolls. Kind of wholemeal bread. Good, you know, well, I won't comment. Croissants. Anybody into croissants? Or they're just white bread, crusty bread. Okay, so, right, rolls. Just what? Oh, no, I was going to say a few rolls. Oh, sorry. Wholemeal, healthy, really, yes. Yeah, okay, right. A few croissants. Oh, my, cultivated. Oh, we really have. Yes, okay. And just white, crusty. It's interesting, isn't it? Well, this is, okay. So this is just, well, this is just bread. Anybody know what this meal is we're talking about here? No? Okay. You know Luke 24? You know the story of after Jesus has come alive and two of his friends, one of them called, where is he? One of them called Cleopas, yeah. One of them called Cleopas. And, well, we don't know. Was it his wife? We don't know. Was it just a friend? We don't know. But they're walking. Remember this in Luke's gospel? They're walking along a road and they're sad and they're puzzled. because, well, Jesus has died, and they can't understand why. And they've begun to hear stories, though. This is Sunday, and they've begun to hear stories that maybe Jesus is not dead, maybe he's alive, but they can't make any sense of it, and they're sad. And then this stranger comes and joins them on the road. You with me? You remember this story? And it's Jesus, but they don't know it's Jesus. And they tell him that he asked them, what's going on? You know, why? And they say, we're just so sad because this man Jesus, we thought he was going to be the Redeemer. We thought he was going to be the Savior. And then they killed him. And we're just so sad. And then we've heard these stories this morning about maybe Jesus is alive. And they're still walking. Well, this is what happens. Amy's going to come and read. Jesus then speaks to them in all their sadness, in all their hopelessness, in all their confusion. Come on, Amy.
He said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?
Thanks, Amy. That's great. Thank you. So, did you hear what he said to them? How foolish you are. How foolish you are not to believe what the prophets had said. Remember, you've got to see it. This is a meal. This is a meal, just bread, that was all it was. But you've got to see this meal, particularly in the light of this meal, the first meal. Because remember what happened in that first meal. Remember what the serpent said to Adam and Eve. If you eat that fruit, if you disobey God, but you eat that fruit, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God. And of course, when their eyes were opened, what did they see? They just saw shame and pain and all the ugliness of sin and death and all this, everything spoiled. It was a lie. But think about this meal. They don't recognize Jesus until he picks up the bread and he breaks it. And then it says, and their eyes were opened. And what did they see? Not what did they see. Who did they see? They saw Jesus. They saw Jesus, but it was, well, it was the same Jesus. It was the Jesus who had died. He still had the wounds in his hand and so on. But it was a different Jesus in the sense that he was alive. He was alive. It was a different Jesus in the sense it was a risen, conquering king. A Jesus that sin could no longer tempt. A Jesus with whom Satan, the devil, could no longer strive. A Jesus for whom sickness could never again affect. A Jesus for whom death would never, ever again touch. It was a risen Jesus. In fact, what they were seeing was the first of a new humanity. The first of a new heaven and a new earth. Their eyes were opened to see this is the world as God will mend it and has mended it in Jesus by his death and now his resurrection. They were seeing this is where the future lies, not with that ugly, sin-spoiled world, but with this new world that the risen Jesus has ushered in. Their eyes were opened to see the world to come. That's what that meal was about. It was indicating, it was showing them that God would, through Jesus, restore everything one day. And that was good news. That is, it's good news. All the elements are there. His birth, his death, his rising, and his return. And that brings us to our last meal, our fourth meal. So, yep. Come on then, Evie. Come on. Are you coming in? You want to check it for us? Here it is. Let me put this other one away before you come. That's it. Good. Yep. On you come. Here we are, this one. Do you want to take the cloth off? That's a good girl. Yep, on you go. Can you lift it up? What's in it? Can you pick that up? No, do you want to pick this up? There you are. Whoa. Do you know what it is? Can you see? It's a card, isn't it? It's a card. And I know you can't read that, but I'll read it. Thank you. It's a card. That's right. Thank you, Evie. That's great. So it's a card, and it says, you are invited. You are invited. What's this to? Oh, to the greatest feast ever. The greatest feast ever. You are invited. What's that about? Well, let's think for a minute. There we go. Think for a minute with me. What's the best meal you've ever had? Think about that for a moment. What's the best meal? I've got four choices here. It probably doesn't cover them, but we'll do our best, okay? So there's spaghetti bolognese. Burgers. I suppose that's kind of McDonald's, is it? Roast beef, Yorkshire pudding, pizza. Okay, now I'm sure I'm a very sophisticated audience out here, I know, and your favorite's probably not there, but we'll try these, right? Any takers for spaghetti bolognese? Okay, yeah, not bad, right? Okay, what about burgers? Oh, I'm really pleased to see that. That's good. Yeah, that's good. Apart from McDonald's, yes, okay. What about roast beef? Oh, you're a very traditional crew, aren't you? Right, and pizza, we got any pizza out there? Okay. Well, listen, tell me, what makes a great meal? What makes, think about it, what makes a great meal? It's not just, I mean, I know the food is part of it. Very much part of it. Of course it is. You've got to have great food. But think about it. The meals that you really remember. Usually you've got great company. Is that right? Family. Friends. That's what makes great meals. And usually you've got a great occasion too. Something. Maybe it's Christmas. I don't know. Maybe it's Easter. Maybe it's a wedding. I don't know. But I want you to think about that best meal, that greatest meal, whatever comes into your head. And I want you to think about, remember Jesus said to his disciples on the two on the road to Emmaus, he said, how foolish of you are not to believe what the prophets had spoken. Well, one of the prophets had said something about a feast, a meal. Let's read this together. This is Isaiah. I want us to think about this. This is the last meal I want us to think about. So just read this together, if you can read that with me. So on this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Oh, it's me. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. There's Isaiah seeing a feast, the greatest of all feasts. He's saying with the finest of meats and the best of meats, the finest of wines. He's looking ahead, and it's not just that the food is great, you see. He's saying the company will be great. There'll be no divisions, all peoples, all nations. There'll be no end to this feast because death has gone. There'll be no darkness because tears have been vanquished. There'll be no shame, no disgrace. That's been removed. This is a feast with God. Surely this is our God, he says. We trusted in him, and he has saved us. A wonderful feast, the greatest of all feasts. And you think, well, what's the occasion? What is Isaiah seeing? What is this greatest of all feasts? Well, for that, you need to go right to the end of the Bible. And you need to go to the book of Revelation. And it says there, Revelation 19:9, blessed are those who are invited, to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Jesus, in other words. That's the feast he's talking about. That's the feast that's still to come. Think of all your greatest meals. Well, this is the greatest of them all. There'll be nothing like it. Because it's the wedding, it's the union of Jesus and all his people. And it will be perfect. He's perfect, always has been. But he will have restored his people to perfection too. So the company will be perfect. The feast itself will be perfect. It will never end. And you are invited. That's what Easter is all about. Jesus' death and resurrection gives you and me an invitation to that feast, to trust him, and as it were, to secure your place with him at that feast. We could have sung, we're not going to sing it, but the fourth verse of that song that we sung a moment ago goes like this. And so with thankfulness and faith, we rise to respond and to remember our call to follow in the steps of Christ as his body here on earth. As we share in his suffering, we proclaim Christ will come again. And we will join in the feast of heaven around the table of our King. These meals, particularly 2 and 3, which restore everything that meal 1 had spoiled, are all looking forward to meal 4, the greatest meal of all. And through Jesus, by his death and resurrection, you're invited. We're all invited. Don't miss the invitation. Well, let's sing, or let's think about that. Just reflect on this as Worthy and worship. Worthy's going to come and sing a song which just rejoices in Jesus' the Redeemer. The words will go up, but just listen to the words of this song and the hope that it contains.
Let us pray together. Our gracious Father, we thank you for another time to repeat our Easter shouts of surprise and joy for the news of our Lord Jesus' victory over the powers of death and evil. We thank you for the resurrection life that brings grace, hope, and joy. May your resurrection power continue to shape all our days. And we ask for all this in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.